Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Maybe the old Penny would have kind of savored it a little more than that. He would have probably said, you know, this is a big moment for me, or, you know, I proved a lot of people wrong. But he said, you know what? I'm not really, you know, people have jobs to do.
Well, I think, you know, too, I mean, Penny knows now through 6 years and now in his seventh how fleeting it can all be. You can
100%.
Feel like you're on top of the world, 15-2, number 10 in the country last year, and it all fall apart right in front of you. So I think he doesn't take it for granted, appreciates it more, certainly, and that was going to be natural for anybody on his career path. You know, you jump into this, and, you know, there's going to be a natural progression of things in terms of the coach that you are when you start, things you say that you learn. And we'd said from the very beginning, you know, unnecessary, and frankly, yeah, I think you just become more appreciative. And for this reason as well, as Gary points out, I'll read from what he said in his column about moving Memphis up to 13, but that acknowledged very few coaches and possibly none, he writes, needed to get off to a good start this season more than Hardaway, who remains the most beloved living Memphian despite the uneven nature of his first 6 years guiding his alma mater. As I wrote during the offseason, if things don't eventually calm down and get better, some hard decisions will have to be made. But as I also wrote during the offseason, the best thing for Memphis, and this is something Benson said that I think we can all come back to and agree on, both the university and city, it's still for Hardaway to figure out how to get things back on the so-called track and run the program competently and successfully. Penny's got to get faith restored in the program. That's what was obviously teetering after you blow things up the way they did last year in terms of down the stretch in AAC play. A win like yesterday restores a lot of that. And clearly, you know, Gary felt that and wrote it, and I think we want to believe, right? Because we all know best thing for the program right now and for the city is for it to be successful under Penny. And so he gave you reason with that win yesterday, and certainly those eight players did a large part, obviously, in pulling it off. Because again, I would just point to the execution.
Yep.
But some Caravan said, and it's in Gary's column too, Memphis was, and I don't want to gloss over it, we did because of how good they were executing and offensively, Memphis was the tougher team yesterday. That's what Penny said they had to be. And Caravan said they played us harder. They played us tougher. They were the tougher team for the majority of that game, and we didn't match it. You know, that's what Penny had hoped for in putting this roster together. There's no hope for it. You know, there's no promise of that until you see it in display against a team of that caliber. So, man, great win. You know, a hopefully a faith restoring win for a lot of folks. And man, you've set yourself up for good things the rest of the way, especially in this non-conference.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Like, is there a scenario? Let's say they win today. Let's say they beat Michigan State.
They win today. It's just gravy.
Let's
I would say.
Let's go crazy though. Let's go absolutely extreme. Let's say they win the Maui. Let's say they beat Michigan State today. Then they beat Auburn, and they're undefeated.
Well, you'll be top 10, and you'll be feeling as good as you were after the turn of the calendar last year when they were 15-10, number 10, 15-2, number 10 in the country.
Is there a chance they could be top 5?
Possibly with the wins that they'll have. If you're saying win the whole thing, you're getting two more ranked wins this week.
Well,
you
Michigan
won't get a ranked
State.
Win Michigan over State. Michigan State.
Right.
You would get one in the title game, whether
yes.
it's over Auburn or North Carolina.
Yeah.
And so it's two ranked
wins.
Two
out of three.
You also have two you know, solid road wins.
Right.
Even though San Fran
and Michigan State's a quasi, you know, ranked win. I mean, it,
yeah, I'm just saying your resume stacks up
100%
with you know, the Auburns, yes. everybody else that's up there. You know, Kansas got two good wins, and then
they
and then three patsies. North Carolina, about the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, all those teams, yeah, you'd be in the run. In terms of what you've accomplished early season resume, I think, and the fact that Gary's already got you 13,
yeah,
I think you it certainly could make an argument that you could be top
yeah,
five.
It'd be tough. I mean, you need some other teams to
Again,
lose.
You're talking about voters across the country. It's one thing for Gary to jump them in from outside to 13. You're going to still have some voters who doubt Penny Hardaway, who have said this thing will fall apart. I know what I saw last season. So the idea that you can jump them in to top five from outside of it, which is what next week's rankings would be, all of this, I think, pretty far-fetched.
Yeah, it is. But, I mean, I like to – I'm in dream mode now, man. I'm in dream mode. Like, why not? Go do it. Go do it. I don't think Auburn's unbeatable. I mean, this Michigan State team is obviously – like, it's just like they intimidate me just because of the brand, but they might be more of a, you know, they might be more bark than bite in 2024 in Michigan State.
Well, they have to bring the beef and the push around to the table because, as we said, this team cannot shoot. Like, it's glaring. They hit just two threes in their game yesterday. And so it's 20% on the season. It's 362 out of 364 programs in college basketball. It's as bad as it gets. They're deep. That's going to be the thing. They get you in foul trouble early, going at your bigs, which is going to be – it's what this is classic. He's going to say, they took it to UConn early. And remember, they got UConn in foul trouble. Memphis was the more aggressive team.
Yep.
He's going to say, we can't allow that to happen early. We've got to go with them and get them in foul trouble because they only run eight deep.
Yep.
They've literally only got eight guys they can play. And really, up until yesterday, it was just six of them that were actually contributing to the, you know, the actual production. That's why just – how unlikely was it? P.J. Carter hasn't really been a part of anything yet. He hasn't really found his groove. And then for him to step up and hit, you know, those, it ended up being six, but four straight right there.
Yeah.
When he's sort of been just watching, you know, in that moment, coming off cold, not just for the game, but basically the whole season. Pretty incredible.
Yeah. I've been wrong about a lot of things over the years. I mean, that's just the nature of what we do. I think probably no more wrong than I was about PJ Haggerty. Not only in just like, you know, what he would be, but I doubted whether or not I would enjoy even watching him play. Like I doubted whether I would enjoy watching a guy that kind of just got to the free throw line, and that's kind
of
how.
But much of that false premise was based on the fact he was doing it for a loser.
Correct.
But if you watch PJ Haggerty, and we did against Memphis, like you knew. This dude's a dog.
Yeah, yeah.
And it won't be 21 points, although whatever it is, it's close to it this year. I mean, increased production.
Yeah.
But you knew you were getting a great piece, it felt like. And so
I
it was still fair to question whether you're going to, you know, if you're going to bring that kind of production over.
Right.
But
yeah, he's averaging 22.4, so it's even higher.
I don't care, you know, that he had a ton of fouls in the, you know, first half of that Alabama game or whatever. You saw up against top-level competition, man. That dude answered the bell. And he has every time out. The fact that he goes 5 of 14 from the field, he's really struggled from the field here, Reese, but then gives you 11 of 14 from the free throw line. He just, that's a beautiful, that's Kendrick Davis-ish. When the shots aren't dropping, but I got to manufacture offense. He is adept. He's an expert at it. 14 free throws of the 40, he shoots 14 of them in a game where, you know, offensively shots aren't dropping.
Yes. So anyway, man, yeah, I love watching him play. I love
Tyrese yesterday. This dude goes 7 of 10 from three.
No, that's what I loved, right? I love the fact
he carried him at one point,
and they both found ways to be effective within the context of each of them.
That's
right?
What I'm saying.
Like, so that gives me hope that there can be a future where, all right, we don't have to just take turns. It's like we can both be really freaking awesome together. And we'll kind of be like, you know, Sonic and Knuckles a little bit here, you know, I'll be the guy that gets to the free throw line and constantly applies pressure. You'll be the guy that's a buck out. I mean, and again, PJ can do both as well, but they just complement each other, man. They complement each other really well. And, it's a credit to Penny for seeing the vision there. And, this thing has gotten better. It looked really, really bleak in the exhibition games. We all watched those games. They couldn't shoot.
The shooting looked bleak.
Yeah. And
you still like the way they played those teams, dude.
Yeah. But it's come together.
Second half.
You know, will it be sustained? You know, hopefully it will. Hopefully it will. But right now they are one of the hottest teams in America. It's a good time to be hot because you got Michigan State 5 o'clock on ESPN. It's just fun again, man. It's like, you know, Memphis winning big games.
I mean, again, they were 15-2. To act like we haven't been this giddy at all. We were giddy when they were 15-2, number 10 in the country. That was a legit number 10 in the AP ranking.
Yeah, they weren't beating teams like this though.
They had gone 11-2 in a pretty tough non-conference schedule. What happens is Arkansas, Michigan don't become the teams.
Yeah.
And yes, that 11-2 doesn't look as sparkling as it was. But, John, you were writing it. We were all giddy. We were saying we haven't been this giddy since Cal because you hadn't been that ranked that high that late in the season since. And so that's not to say this could all still crumble. That's not to say don't get excited.
Mm.
But, we you know, last year you thought you were about to break through when you came through non-conference 11-2 and had a sorry AAC schedule in front of you. I mean, and we were feeling great about it. We were feeling great about where Penny had the program. We were saying the same things about success for the program and success. We were feeling great. And it was part of the reason why so much faith was lost, seemingly.
Yeah.
Because of the way you played down.
Well, I'm going to allow myself to feel good again. I'm going to do it.
I'm not saying don't do that, man. Please don't take it that way. Some will. It's like, man, I haven't felt this giddy in 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
Because of a win over UConn, number 2 in November. Like,
it's pretty big.
Last year, it looked pretty darn real when you're number 10 in the country. Again, hindsight's 20/20. So we can say it was awful. But we believed in it then. We were giddy then. We said the same things.
Yeah.
Hopefully, this will continue and not fall off.
Right. And your best singular win better than a year ago, right? I mean, there was no number 2 team in the country.
We're saying this is Penny Hardaway's biggest win of his career.
Yeah.
And we're agreeing with him on that. So clearly that, yes.
That's the part that I think is a little more exciting, you know, because you hope that UConn will continue to be in the top 10 all year long. So anyway, yeah, back in action today, 5 o'clock on ESPN. We'll come back with the rundown. Stick around, Jason.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
John, how do you turn FM? ESPN. The Black Friday event over at Robert Irwin Jewelers going on right now. With every purchase of $299 or more, you get a free gift. I mean, this is how you hustle. And this is just obvious to me. But you buy 1/5 carat diamond hoop earrings and 10 carat white gold, that's $549. You get free JBL noise-canceling headphones. You get Flexi Diamond Bangle Bracelet. These are flexible bracelets. You can wear one, stack a few for a bolder look. That's for her to figure out. Spend $9.99, get a free Nintendo Switch. So it's like, bing, bam, right? You know, you knock out two with one over Robert Irwin Jewelers.
Very smart how he knows what he's doing. 40 years in the business, he and his family, so he should know what he's doing. It's going to be the best jewelry shopping experience of your life because you're not going to get gifts like this when you buy your jewelry elsewhere. John's mentioned the gift that comes with buying at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Biggest one I can see, literally. 85-inch smart TV for free, so long as you spend $4,999 or more on an engagement ring. I certainly did that. I spent it in the wrong place, though, you know? And if you're going to pop the question this Christmas, you got to get the ring. You may as well go over to RIJ and get you the free TV for the man cave. 85 inches is probably bigger than anything. Anybody, I mean, come on. What's the largest TV in your home, John? 70? 75?
Yeah, 75, yeah.
Yeah, 85 inches for free. That's why you need to head over to Robert Irwin Jewelers. No better place to buy your engagement ring. Free financing, bigger, brighter diamonds, also better prices. 5 locations or online at rijewelers.com. Sportsnet.com every day around this time, and we are late to it. We do the rundown. Let's go. 2-0, that's the way I'm looking at it. Realize now that the Grizzlies have won, what, 4 or 5 at home. It's 3 in a row, but 2 in a row over the teams we said they needed to beat, which is this 5-game stretch against sub-500 opponents. And the Grizzlies certainly took care of business last night against one of those, the second of those. A 123-98 over the Portland Trail Blazers. And, I mean, I just, you know, everything that Jessica Benson talked about, we talked about first hour there, you just had the feeling again, sort of like John's talking about with Tigers. And when John Morant's back on the floor, it just feels better. It's more electric. And you saw in the passes, whether it was the behind-the-back that he threw that we talked about to Brandon Clark, the nice one really was the I think he thought the better of the two, the tougher of the two, was the one from outside the three-point line. He throws up Jaren Jackson Jr., catches the left hand nasty because you just didn't see that one coming.
Nope.
I didn't see Jaren over there. Just so unexpected at that point. He also had a nice one where it looked like he got stopped by the defense, and Brandon Clark comes, you know, flying through the lane there, and he hits him for a nice little, really nice touch on the alley-oop. All kinds of highlights. Then we got the one huge dunk that Josh says that's the one for the year. He is dunking less, and I'm fine with it. We're getting viral highlights with 360 layups we've had that created all those social media impressions over the NBA, had them going gaga. We're getting it, and we got it last night right there in a 22-point, 11 assist effort. 123-98, it's nice and easy, and that's what you want over these sub-500 teams as you look to separate yourself again from that 500 line. Now 11-7, the Grizzlies are. You're 7-3 at home, so you're getting to the point where you're building up that nice advantage that you used to have back in the old grind house. So hopefully that continues. For the Grizzlies, like I said, it's just capitalizing next on these scrubs. Detroit playing better, yes, but still one of those teams you certainly consider far beneath you. New Orleans, same thing. Might be getting healthier, but no Zion. And then Indiana, obviously, these are opportunities, and particularly with the next three at home over this holiday break. We said it. You were so hopeful you could get job back during it. Even saw Marcus Smart come back last night. So it does feel like you're getting close to the whole Edie. You'd like to get him back, eventually Vince Williams and Gigi. But right now, so far, so good for the Grizzlies. Again, 3 straight over Philadelphia, Chicago, and Portland, and 3 more against essentially sub-500 teams. I haven't checked on Indiana's record of late, but they should be around that mark as well. And then, you know, you'll go to Dallas. Is Luka going to be there? Come on December 3rd, you might catch them again down Luka Doncic. And so the real opportunity here to take off for the Grizzlies and try to join the upper echelon of the rest of the West. Because like we talked about, I mean, you're only a game and a half out of, what, third? And so I think Houston right now sitting up in that spot, you get a nice little run here before this schedule really turns up as we get to December. This is a good place to have yourself. So hopefully it's all happening, John. Last night felt easy, like it needed to be for the second time this season against the Portland Trail Blazers.
Absolutely right, man. I mean, again, it's not even about like the game-to-game results right now. I'm not really even tripping about that. I mean, yes, they matter because you're talking about seeding and things like that, but it's just like, yo, please let me have this this core in April and May.
There you go.
Please. Like, because if I do.
Especially the big three.
I'm live. I know that. I'm live for anything. You name it. I'm not even gonna put a cap on it. I mean, obviously, you know, Celtics are a different beast, but I mean, I just feel like if the Grizzlies have their big three, as you say, which I believe NBA somebody ranked the big threes. They had them like ninth. They had the Grizzlies big three ninth behind. I mean, some absolute monster cores, right? Top 10 big three, and I can make an argument. We could sit here. We could go down each team, and we could probably come to, you know, some agreement that they're probably higher than 9, but you got that kind of core going into the postseason, you got a chance, man. You got a chance to make a run. So that's what it's all about.
Up to 5th.
Yeah.
Only a game out of 3rd place, actually. Just 2.5 behind the leader, Oklahoma City. But 11-7, you got the Rockets sitting there at 12-6.
Yeah.
You know, a game ahead of you in 3rd place.
You can beat
and
them.
So you're taking advantage of what the schedule has provided you
that's right. In
terms of some teams that are really down. And last night, the Grizzlies absolutely take advantage. Good to see.
Yeah.
Good to see. Want to see it continue and get that consistency. Separate yourself from that bottom half, the 7-10 part of the West. Right now, Grizzlies doing that. 3 games in a row put you in the 5th-place spot in the West. Still work to do against scrubs. Hopefully, it continues tomorrow night against Detroit.
Memphis, Michigan State, 5 o'clock p.m.
Yeah, get ready for another big one.
On ESPN. So let's talk. We talked a lot about the UConn game, right? We talked a lot about but that's the thing is like, and that's the challenge for Penny. Move on. It's over. It's easy for Michigan State. they played a sleepy Colorado team that's not very good. They dominated from jump. Like, it wasn't, and that's amazing that you can dominate a team while only shooting 9% from three. Very impressive what they did against Colorado. So they don't really have, like, they went to bed last night. They flushed it like a colonoscopy prep. Know what I'm saying?
Thanks.
Meanwhile, Memphis, and this is the test. How quickly can you move on from an unbelievable, emotional, important, intense victory?
With just eight dudes.
With just eight dudes. and a win that you called the biggest of your career. Can you put that? Because guess what? Now it's like, okay.
I think we're all agreeing, too, it's the biggest, right?
I think so. I mean.
So we can win, we refer it. I think that helps us move forward.
Yeah.
If we feel good, we feel comfortable.
I think
you
so.
And I agree.
Yeah, because.
Penny said it.
Houston wasn't.
It's past Houston because of the way you did it.
Yeah.
Houston was for a title. I don't want to dismiss it.
But they weren't.
Sasser was out.
Player.
I went back and looked. Yeah. You're right. It wasn't Shed. It was Sasser. Shed played. He played pretty well.
Yeah.
Still number one in the country. It was for a title, a banner that doesn't. It stays
that's right.
up.
That's right.
And that's how, because of the way you won yesterday.
Yeah. Doing it without.
I'm with you. So yeah. So it's Penny's biggest win.
Penny outcoached
Dan Hurley.
He's coming
off his biggest win.
You know,
he outcoached a two-time defending champ.
And he's 3-1 now against Dan Hurley.
Hurley had the meltdown.
He sure did. I mean, he did.
Your own team is saying Memphis outplayed you and out-toughed you, and this man's saying it was a half-ass attempt by a Memphis player to rebound to cover up for the foul. It's just, man, it's just low, man. You don't need to go that far. You don't need to cross that line. You only commend the effort of Memphis because your own players are commending it.
Yep. Yeah,
but when you say a half tail, you act like Memphis' effort wasn't even good enough to beat.
Yeah, that was out of he knows
right,
that.
Right, it's one thing to criticize the officials, but when you throw that in there,
yep.
Now you're discrediting the effort that Memphis gave, which was phenomenal.
Yes.
And they out executed you.
Absolutely.
In
right.
terms of shooting and everything else.
Yeah. So
back to Michigan State. Like you gotta get you off.
No,
track,
I mean
back.
Look, I mean,
it's such a big win. It's the biggest win.
This is the challenge. This is the challenge.
You gotta move forward for all of us.
You just want to talk about the game yesterday. You know, I'm ready to move on to 5 p.m., and I'm hoping that the staff is in that mode, too, and the players are in that mode. I think they are. This is an older team. You know, they know that, okay, we just beat UConn. Anything is possible this week in Maui. Like, let's not shortchange ourselves
John is
here.
Dreaming big. Y'all
let's not shortchange. You know, we can be – if you beat UConn, you can certainly beat this Michigan State team. Auburn, maybe that's a different conversation. Maybe they are. I mean, they just beat Iowa State. And then they came back from down whatever it was, 18 or something.
I think they were 16. You said North Carolina was 21.
Yeah, North Carolina was 21.
Both of them had to rally.
Yeah. Well, then if God indeed does everything but fail, he will have North Carolina upset Auburn later tonight, and then it will be Memphis, North Carolina in the rematch, which Memphis will win. That will truly be the test.
That's right. I didn't even think about the rematch from the preseason.
Yeah, we got that one. Oh, we got something for that ass.
North Carolina
is so overrated, bro.
No, I don't disagree with that.
I don't think they're
now. They're 12th or so.
Dude, Gary's got them third.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he's moved them up since.
I think I'm just talking about
this
Gary's
last AP
rankings,
ranking.
But yeah, like in terms of this Memphis team and the Michigan State challenge, Michigan State has played the same exact way since 1999. Right.
Well, who was it? Adrian Payne, and who was the other big?
Draymond Green, wasn't it?
No.
It wasn't
I'm talking
Draymond?
About that beat us in the
I know,
tournament.
It wasn't Draymond?
No, it wasn't Draymond.
Oh,
it was Nix. Well, didn't they have a big dude named Nix? It was him in Payne. It wasn't like this
I remember,
NBA.
I remember
Adrian Payne.
R.I.P.
Yeah, man, yes, R.I.P. And I thought it was a Nix. But it was not Draymond.
Okay.
Draymond did not beat Josh Pastner.
No, I mean, I know, but I'm just saying, like, that was the...
Yeah, I swear he had it. I thought the other big dude... Derek Nix? Wasn't that him?
I don't really remember a lot about him.
Derek Nix, I think it was, were the two bigs, and we had DJ Steffens guarding them.
Yeah, tough.
Yes.
You know, we'll have more girth today, you know.
So long as it stays out of foul trouble.
My guy, Musa Cisse, is battling his ass off.
Musa, man, give that man a respect burger.
I love Musa. I'm so happy that this happened.
He's out here battling, George.
I'm so happy.
I appreciate you doing that. He deserves it.
Yeah, I'm so happy that the good Lord brought him back to Memphis for this run because he deserves it. He deserves a real run in Memphis. And
eight rebounds.
Like, he's out there directing traffic defensively, bro. Like, my man Musa. My man.
Now, they dropped defensively.
I missed him in Oxford.
I'm glad
you
said that. I'm glad you said that because they dropped defensively to like 50th from 25th, but it's not because that wasn't a good defensive effort. It's because it was against a good team.
Right. I mean,
they're getting great effort defensively. But it was crazy to see how far they fell, though, at KenPom in defense.
Well, I think that's a little unfair.
It's just, it's the math.
Because nobody executes better than UConn.
They had, gave up 97 points and all that, but this is clearly a good defense.
Yeah. So you got Musa, I think, I just love the way that Penny is rotating these guys, like...
Yeah, there ain't many to rotate, bro.
Well, I know, but he's like...
It's really six, let's be real. PJ didn't... Carter hadn't done anything...
Well, PJ has earned his way, as far as I'm concerned.
Dude, he's cemented.
That man had the greatest...
As one of the most beloved Tigers ever, step up there and knock down all those free throws.
I think PJ Carter had the greatest one-minute stretch in the history of Tiger basketball yesterday.
That might be true.
I mean, that dude hit all those free throws.
That man came alive in overtime for nine.
He hit the step-back three that kept the Tigers from going on the mat.
He and Colby are the only ones that scored in overtime. Man, been missing all season.
Is that true?
Yes.
Just those two.
17 points. Isn't that it? Yeah.
9 and 8?
Yes. Carter had nine.
Nine plus
Colby
eight
had
equals 17?
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
No other Tiger scored in overtime.
Tyrese Hunter didn't score in overtime? That's amazing.
No.
That is amazing.
Tyrese had his 17 of his, what he ended up with, 26 in the second half. He carried you in the second half with that three-point shooting.
Yeah.
Man, then here's the thing. Kobe Rogers is the one that helped get you off to the great start with his three-point shooting.
Yep.
And getting him into foul trouble early was key, too. But you saw how deep they go, because then Stewart comes off the bench and goes 7-9, just getting whatever he wants, 2 of 3 from three. I needed a three all season. Yeah, just another. They were deeper than you, and you battled foul trouble and everything else, still came out on top.
Yeah.
Can't say enough about the win, but that's what makes it tough, John, to move forward. We all have to. You have to. I have to.
Facts.
George has to. Penny has to.
So, okay, let's talk about this Michigan State team. This Michigan State team is...
ass from three.
It's ass from three, and it's...
There's no other way to put it.
They were 2 of 21 yesterday on the soft Maui rims, all right? So let's say that.
They are dang near... There's only two teams in the country worse than them at three-point shooting at 20%.
Yes.
Pack the paint.
They are a team that is 100%, and you'll know exactly what I mean when I say this, better than the sum of their parts.
Oh, that's just an Izzo coach team.
Yeah, like that's
an identity. That's a culture.
They don't have one guy that you have to stop.
They only have one guy in double figures yesterday.
Yeah, it was Jace Richardson, and he was questionable coming in.
And he's like
he's a freshman. Yeah, so, it's just a lot. What they have is a lot of size, a lot of sort of interchangeable bigs that are, going to be physical.
You're going to make me overconfident, man.
I'm not saying this to try to, like
you said, it's a brand you're playing against.
It's a brand.
Same thing as UConn. Like, you're going to execute. In this case, they're going to be physical. You don't have to worry about them not having that from the get-go. That's the way they think they're going to beat you.
Yes.
So they're going to try to get you in foul trouble and go at your chest.
Yes.
Avoiding that early feels like the key.
No, I mean, there's no doubt. But they are significantly less talented than the team you just beat yesterday.
2 of 21 from three, you said yesterday. That's what it was for Michigan State against Colorado.
Win
that game.
I mean, and look at the rest of...
30 of 61 overall, though. So it tells you.
Yeah.
It's all coming at the basket, man.
That's right.
Got to stay out foul trouble.
So it's a big game for Musa. It's a big game for Dane. This is definitely a game where, like, you'd like to have a Tyreek Smith. I mean, I'm just going to say it. Just to have that extra physical body.
They miss his body. They would have used it by now. Especially because Jordan is always in foul trouble, feels like.
Yeah. I mean, you're having to kind of use Baraka as like a, please guard whoever you can out there. And, I mean, he's doing his best. But, it's a limit. There's a limitation to it. But, yes, this is a winnable game for Memphis at the sharpest sports book in the world. Memphis has moved to a -1 favorite.
What?
Yes.
Why is it moving? That's just money coming in on Memphis. It was 1.5. Michigan State was a favorite this morning.
That's right.
Money's coming on Memphis.
Money's coming on Memphis.
They're looking at those 3-point percentages for Michigan State, and they're saying, I like Memphis.
I think that's a big part of it.
And it's moved Memphis to the favorite.
Again, slight, but yes.
But it's like a 2.5-point swing.
Big swing, could say. I don't disagree with it at all. I mean, I think Memphis is the side in the game. I'm not saying that I think they're going to win.
I prefer when Penny, we're in the David role.
Yes.
As we were yesterday.
No question.
I prefer when Penny is preaching.
Everybody wants to be the David role.
And we're in the David role, which you could absolutely pull off yesterday.
Nobody ever wants to be the Goliath.
You're telling me today you're making me Goliath with the way that these odds have shifted.
A great Goliath is? The Detroit freaking Lions. They're an amazing Goliath because they just come out every single week as 8, 9, 10-point favorites and destroy everybody.
Well, tell me this then, a betting expert, and I meant to ask you about this earlier in the week. I saw something that says Tampa Bay covers like crazy.
Do they?
Okay, I thought it was such a trend and a phenomenon that somebody like would have certainly heard about it when you're talking about who covers and who doesn't.
Well,
you know,
Mike Evans has been out the last couple of weeks. He did come back and they just destroyed the Giants.
Thought I read something where it's a standout type.
I think I saw this too. The Bucs are one of those teams that even when they lose, they just don't get blown out by anybody.
Exactly.
And then when
they've been
they've
been phenomenal this
year. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Read
that recently.
Did they cover against the Bucs, though? I mean, against the Ravens, I'm saying, in October 21st? Because they lost by 10. I'm assuming that would not have been a cover.
I don't know if that's one of them, but I know this stat was recent.
I don't think so.
They probably would have been plus 7, right? 6.5, 7, something like that. I mean, if that, at home, I don't know. The best teams against the spread this year, I know the Detroit Lions are the best.
I'm deferring. I believe you.
I think
they're dominant.
They lost to the Bucs. Weirdly.
Yeah.
Which is like, you know, that one.
Another one where the Bucs clearly covered.
They did cover that one. And then there was one where I think, I can go through this for the Lions. They covered against the Rams. They did not cover against the Bucs. They covered against the Cardinals. They covered against the Seahawks. They covered against the Cowboys. They covered against the Vikings. They covered against the Titans. They covered against the Packers. They did not cover against the Texans. That's what it was. They only won by that field goal because Goff threw 5 picks. They covered against the Jags, and they covered against the Colts. So how many games have they played this year? 11. They're 9-2 against the spread. So if you just really blindly bet the Lions every single week for $1 million, you're up $8 million.
Incredible.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. The other thing
is pretty good.
On the Lions and betting, the other thing I saw was that they just physically beat up teams so badly.
The next week,
that's right. That team is awful.
That's right.
John spoke on that earlier this season. So it is.
I think it's continued. I mean,
they beat you up.
What happened to the Texans?
When he got the job.
It did not apply to the Texans.
They didn't win, but that game was a lot closer than it probably needed to be.
Yeah, yeah. So the Texans, I think that has mostly been true for the year. The Texans, of course, the next week, they got the Cowboys and with Cooper Rush and everything, and they just blew them out. But that was a longer week, I think. So that might not have, you know, that was a Monday game off of a Sunday night. So they got an extra day to rest. So maybe that's not as, viable there. Anyway, yes, everybody wants to be the Goliath. Everybody wants to be the David. Nobody wants to be the Goliath. But you know what? Today is the time. Damn it. You're the favorite. Act like it. Handle business. Let's move on to Wednesday.
You're dismissing Michigan State. You're getting a little uppity. You're
going
to mess with the basketball gods.
Or
the main god.
Can we just say
worships.
Tom Izzo is a 1999 merchant, bro.
His time has passed.
It ain't what it used to be.
But again, they're still having football practice up there in his practices, bro.
Yeah.
Be ready to get hit first. That's all they can own right now. They have no skill from the 3-point line. Literally one of the worst.
Yeah.
He's got to out-tough you. What worries me is foul trouble because you're you're already a thinner rotation.
What a great game! What a great game this will be. And again, my guy Carter Elliott, who is he's a Michigan State guy, he covers them. He says that Memphis is the better team.
See, that feels like kiss of death too.
Nobody thinks
these are the ones you can point to. Izzo gets those.
Does he? Does he still get these?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Now we're Goliath, and he's David.
I don't know. It's interesting. I don't know if he still gets these. I mean, I know he's going to do this. I know he's going to have 10, 12 losses.
We're only 13th in Gary's poll.
That's right.
Unranked in AP in terms of getting his guys up for this.
I did ask him about that. He did tell me that if Memphis loses today to his currently unranked Michigan State, he will just jump Michigan State one spot ahead of Memphis with its one loss coming to number one Kansas.
Well, yeah, you could do that.
So. And then Memphis will only have one loss to a higher-ranked team. So you could justify keeping them where they're at.
I like when Gary's cooking the books.
He's definitely cooking the books, bro.
I like it. Cooking the books for Memphis. We got Gary back.
This is definitely insider trading.
Penny got Gary back yesterday.
Hard to fight it, man. It's hard to fight that
happened
feeling,
too.
You know? Anyway, 5 o'clock on ESPN. Memphis, Michigan State for the right to party!
John's very excited. Are we going to talk about the Battle of the Harbaughs?
Oh, yeah, that did happen last night, didn't it?
30-23. Baltimore Ravens.
Damn it.
Get the win. John's saying damn like he had money on the game.
I had Chargers plus 3. Felt good after that first drive, man.
I tell you what. Chargers are good.
They are good.
I'm really impressed. I really am. Stories, obviously, Ravens get the win. Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry. Jackson, two touchdown passes. Henry had 140 yards. He got closer to Saquon. When we were looking at the rushing leaders, Henry was still that one game, the week's game behind Saquon, but he tightened it up a little bit more last night. Again, I still believe Saquon Barkley going to finish out as your rushing leader. Maybe MVP. We'll get to that conversation again if we need to. But last night, Baltimore obviously gets the win. First matchup between the Harbaughs in Super Bowl 47 in February of 2013 when John's Ravens beat Jim's 49ers. And we're back at it again. And I'm just I'm just so impressed with how quickly, in this case, he's rebuilt the Chargers. And I guess it's not as much about rebuilding because you strip down some highly paid parts like Keenan Allen and the Mike Williamses of the world. It's just a new belief, maybe a new, to use that word again, mantra. Do you think he does the who's got it better than us with them?
I'm sure he does. I'm sure he does some form of that.
Our fifth, sixth grade basketball coach, a noted Michigan fan, is also, we do it at the end of wins. Who's got it better than us? Maybe it's something we can adopt. Better spirit.
Yeah.
Better finances come with that. Better ratings for you, perhaps, down
yep.
the road.
Yep.
Maybe that's something. Because what it does is keep you grateful, right?
Yep.
That's what it's about. And for some reason, Harbaugh's been able to go into there in this Chargers outfit and turn that thing completely around in 1 year. It's pretty impressive. But the Ravens get the win 32-23. Move to 8-4. It's one they needed, too, because they're sliding a little bit. At times this season look like one of the upper echelon teams in the AFC. I still think I believe them to be that, although that defense, I think, is what you would question most. Sometimes I question Monken.
Yeah.
Last night it was good offensively.
Yeah. That Ravens team is there as advertised, man. I mean, that offense is just built to be there. I mean, that's just the bottom line. I mean, they just...
Like I said, even Justice Hill broke loose at
yeah.
the end. They can hit you in a bunch of different ways offensively. Still got old Mark Edwards out there,
Yeah.
Hey, every once in a while, he looks like old Mark Edwards.
Yeah. You got Gus?
Then they got Likely.
Mark Andrews.
Andrews,
yeah.
What did I say?
Yeah, Mark Edwards. Edwards, yeah.
Excuse me.
We were combining Mark and Gus there. Gus, now, of course, plays for the Chargers now. So there's a lot of reunion. That was the other thing. It's like Chargers basically have nothing but former Raven staffers and players. J.K. Dobbins. Gus Edwards. So, but yeah, I mean, they can give it to you however you want it, man. And Khalil Mack was available in that game. He was, he was out there. They were full complement, and it just did not matter. It did not matter for the Ravens. So we talked about them. We go back and forth. They'll have their little lulls in the season.
Yeah,
but they'll be there when it's all said and done. I don't know if it's Super Bowl, but it's AFC title game again for me. Like at the very least. Because who else are you really convinced about in the AFC other than them?
Buffalo,
and the
Chiefs? KC.
Oh, Buffalo. Buffalo's that's
and he
good,
beat Buffalo.
But he beat the hell out of Buffalo.
But they're back to playing well again, yeah. And it's more that what that defense is doing.
All right, so it's
now.
Those three.
Check. You believe in Buffalo's defense more than Baltimore's. Baltimore's falling off the map.
That is true.
In terms of what they usually are.
That is true. So you got
and then Josh Allen's the MVP, even though Lamar has beaten him. You'd
right.
still say you feel better about the football that Buffalo's playing right now.
Yep.
I would.
Yep.
Baltimore can get back to that, but I need the up and down, I need that to stop, like we said about
that's
this
right.
team.
And then the NFC, it's just Detroit. I mean, that's all I guess Philly. You'll put Philly in there.
Philly has moved to now.
I shouldn't overlook Philly that easily.
No, man, he joined, criticized Sirianni at that point where he had turned to the fans, and we said, this thing's falling apart. This guy's lost his focus. He's worried about what fans are saying in the stands. That's been a rallying cry for them. Like in the locker room, the players loved it. And folks are starting to now recognize that that was actually, in his weird way,
yep.
it actually helped with those players in terms of their belief and buying in him. He's in more control than it at times has looked like. And it doesn't matter what we think. They have bought back in. And it's their defense, too, now, the way it's playing. When you add that to Saquon Barkley, Now Jalen Hurts got a running game that's not just him. Oh man, what are you that thing? They're a problem for Detroit. There's no question. Even though you'd still have Detroit as the heavy favorite.
Yep.
In the NFC.
Yep. So anyway, there you go. Nice win for the Ravens last night on Monday Night football. We'll come back. Jason Fitzgerald joins us at 125. We'll talk to him about college football playoff rankings, NFL, and more. Stick around. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN. If you're renting, but you've been dreaming about being a homeowner, maybe you're nervous about interest rates, stop sitting on the sidelines. Start a conversation with Jennifer Carson and her team at Live Love Group at the real estate agency. This is why. Rents have never been higher. The rent that you're paying is a 100% interest rate as opposed to the interest rate in a home loan. And Jennifer will be a lot better at this than I am, but Jason can tell you the power of equity in your home. I mean, my guy, I just saw the picture of the marble jacuzzi he's putting in, and it's not because he's got cash on hand. It's because of the equity. You cannot build it if you're renting, Jason.
I'm going to ask you one more time to stop telling my story when we talk about Live Love, because that's for me. Because it's my story.
You aren't going to bring up the bathtub.
Get your own story with Live Love, John. Get out of that Germantown home. Sell it. Jennifer going to get you the most money. Stop worrying. Make the call, 901-625-5200, specifically to folks, as John said, that are renting right now. First-time home buyers or want-to-be first-time home buyers. There are so many programs, and Jennifer can walk you through each one of them. If there is a path possible to home ownership, she's going to get you there because that's her way of improving Memphis. You lower rentership, increase home ownership, and I'm with her on that. Make the call, 901-625-5200. So Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the real estate agency.
Let's talk a little college football. Mac Brown has been fired.
So sad.
Yeah, that decision made for him. I think he was hoping that it would not, I guess. But it, in fact, has been made for him. And he will not be the coach at North Carolina any longer. I mean, it was pathetic, really, the way the season played out for them. It's been a pretty pathetic tenure overall. I mean, he had Drake May and didn't get much out of him at Chapel Hill. So they get to start over. It never really made a lot of sense to me when they hired him a few years ago. I guess they got one decent little year out of it. But, yeah, they got absolutely toasted by Boston College last weekend. I guess they're going to a bowl game. But I mean,
he's 1-4 in bowl games.
Yeah.
As their coach, to your point about his tenure there.
Yeah.
It's been pretty bad.
I don't know, like, what kind of job that is, you know?
Best year was 2022.
And what will they go, like, 9-something?
9-5.
Yeah. So, again.
Lost in the Holiday Bowl, though.
I don't know.
But they finished first in the ACC.
What's the aspiration at that job? I don't really know. I mean, it's a Power 5 job, and so it's probably better than just kind of middling. That would be my guess. Like, you're just not. Plus, you're 100 years old, you know? We showed in November when you reach a certain age, you know, right, we move on.
How old is Mac? 73.
Yeah. I mean, now that's not as old as our incoming president or our outgoing president, but we have less patience for our football coaches than we do for our leaders in America, and I'll let you sort of make sense of that. But
I hate it when you have to pull the old man off yourself, right?
That's right.
It's what you hope you don't have to do.
You never want to have to do it. But
you're hoping that they get it.
Yeah, but they never do they? They never do. They never get it.
Sometimes you got to go
Joe
up there.
Biden didn't get it. Lee Corso doesn't get it. Mac Brown doesn't get it. I mean, these old guys.
I don't blame Lee.
Who are you blaming?
Very specifically, Kirk Herbstreit.
He just lost his dog.
I didn't cry, but I respected what he wrote about it.
Yeah.
Set that to the side. We've all lost dogs. Right? This is something separate.
It happens.
Kirk Herbstreit is the reason, because he loves the nostalgia. He loves that him and Corso came up doing this together. You understand what I'm saying? They helped build that show.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to let it go. And that's why, and you can see it, that this is his decision in the way that he is the first to jump to Corso's aid every time that he feels like, okay, he's about to go off. And sometimes he's too soon. Sometimes he doesn't have enough faith in Lee. I've seen him cut him off. But I'm telling you.
Yep.
It's Kirk saying, Coach, we can still do this. He's the one that has to let it go.
Yep. Yep, he does. You got to let go of that part of your life. There's no doubt.
But it's like your grandfather, right? So I'm not saying that, you know, Kirk's in the wrong here.
Yeah.
But I mean, I wouldn't have put my grandfather on television, you know, at past a certain part of his life. You know what I'm saying? Like,
but your grandfather was never Lee Corso.
No, he was. He was Herman Duncan.
Hey, Herman Duncan didn't put on the.
Herman Duncan would have never.
The heads of the, teams as he picked the teams.
Herman Duncan would have never subjected himself to such cockamamie. Tell you that right now.
Cockamamie is part of what built the show.
It is. It is. Now, it's college football.
They're trying to sell you it's the same.
They are.
It's not.
It's not.
It's painful.
Right.
It makes us all uncomfortable.
That's right.
Because we've all had that elder family member.
Yes.
But we need to get Kirk to come to grips with it.
Yeah. Yeah. No question. It's not happening because he thinks he's in Tuscaloosa, right? But
is Lee a better?
Oh, no chance.
Okay, I'm just making sure that he doesn't have any huge gambling debts that we're having to keep him on the set for. Again, this is just a theory, certainly not an allegation. I'm just throwing it. We're quickly dismissing it because John said Lee Corso does not bet.
Well, if
we had, like, gambling debts, I could understand why we're we're keeping this thing going because we got to pay some things down. You understand?
Yeah, no, actually, it's a good
thing. But I'm praying that is not the case. Well, I wonder because this is so obvious to everybody.
A little sharp, right? It'd keep you a little sharper than Lee is at this moment in time. So that's why I'm kind of ruling it out. I think they're just kind of milking the last, you know, couple of years for.
You have McAfee. You have Saban. There's every reason to move on now. There's no reason to have this foot in sort of the past. Again, that's why I tell you, it's all Herb Street, man, trying to hold on to that little piece.
Yeah.
And we all appreciate it.
Yeah.
The pieces on Corso have been great this year, and you can continue to do those while he's there. But
no, the other, you know,
it feels like you're dragging him along.
Oh, totally.
And it's disrespectful
because you don't know how to end it.
Exactly.
You don't know how to
end it. It's not his fault.
Larrañaga is like that in Miami. I mean, it's time for him to hang it up.
I haven't seen the last Larrañaga press conference.
No, really I don't mean in terms of like he's not there.
Oh, no, Matt Brown just ready to get. Okay.
Yeah, like different. You
see my face.
No, it's not like that. But it's like you know, you're in your 60s, man. You're in your late 70s. It's time to, you know what I'm saying? Look, because like, I mean, I don't know how you feel about, I don't know how you feel about work, but I quite frankly can't wait to stop someday. Like, I can't wait to stop. And I love working. I enjoy it. But, like, I want to get on with the rest of my life. I want to enjoy, hey, I worked for this amount of years to get to this.
Well, we can tell. You're working less and less.
Yeah. So it's like, but that's not really because of that.
Already.
I don't see the retirement on the horizon. You know, I got a few, at least three more years.